This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولو آمن أهل الكتاب لكان خيرا لهم منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون.
Assalamu alaikum, dear viewers from around the world. Welcome to the 8th episode of our new series, an exciting series, Nation of Goodness. It's the most recent work of Imam Kareem Abu Zayd. Check him out online at www.kareemabuzayd.com. Check him out on Guide Us TV at Facebook as well. Guide Us TV on Facebook as well. And don't forget to check him out on TV, on Guide Us TV, on his daily Fatawa program. Let's talk about it. I believe it's every other day. In any event, this is an excellent program. We certainly hope it's benefiting you guys. The first 7 episodes were amazing. So get on his YouTube channel and check them out. Islam Way 71. And check out the first 7 episodes. The last 2 episodes we talked about how to go about this. That is, how to enjoin the good and forbid the evil. We're going to do it again in this episode because Imam Kareem believes this is a very big and controversial and important topic. So let's welcome him back. Thank you so much, Shaykh. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh Kareem.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Malik. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi, dear viewers. We're back.
Part three. How to go about it.
How to go about enjoining good and forbidding evil is a problematic subject.
This is a huge, massive topic.
Massive topic that is not spoken about by a lot of the brothers.
So why not, Sheikh? Why isn't it spoken about?
Because it brings about a lot of
confusion, vagueness,
and the subject itself is branched out in a lot of areas, fiqh, usul, muamalat.
Right.
And if you really hit it from one angle while disregarding the rest of the angles of the subject, you may end up giving the wrong message. Like I stressed over and over before Malik, that when we say about, when we talk about enjoining good and forbidding evil, we're really talking about Muslims, Muslims.
Right.
That is why when brothers and sisters who are watching us in the West, in countries like America and Europe, they need to realize that this only applies to Muslims. But with non-Muslims, what you need to convey to them really is Tawheed first.
And this is called Dawah.
Dawah.
In other words, right.
La ilaha illallah. And you see, if we keep speaking without bringing this reminder over and over again, people may think that now I'm going to go to the nightclub next to their house and
tear it down or get them down.
And then we get in trouble with everybody.
Because I'm sorry to interrupt you, Sheikh, because if we see a non-Muslim smoking a cigarette or committing any sin, his biggest problem is he's a disbeliever. We want to bring him into the fold of Islam, not to tell him not to smoke or this and
you
that.
You see, at the end of the day, again, and I think we discussed this in a previous episode, is the question is the non-Muslim addressed by the branches of the religion or not? Before Sharia or no? You see, the debate, very quickly, if he is living in a Muslim country, I expect him to behave like a Muslim in a lot of things. He cannot be doing things that... But we're talking about Muslims who are living
in a non-Muslim the exact opposite.
Now, Hadith Mu'adh ibn Jabal, Hadith ibn Abbas fi Sahihain, draws the map for this, that the first thing that you have to talk to them about is Tawheed. You have to bring them to Islam first. It will not make any sense to speak to a non-Muslim about drinking, about smoking, about adultery, without furnishing the principles, the platform, the fundamental platform on this.
The main principle of life.
Right, which is Tawheed, which is La ilaha illallah. Malik, in the previous episodes, we spoke about how you go about enjoining good and forbidding evil. And we have two hadith. Hadith Abdullah ibn Mas'ud fi Sahih Muslim, and also Hadith Abi Sa'id al-Khudri fi Sahih Muslim. And subhanAllah, the three hadith are identical, but one of them explains a little bit more the other. Hadith Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, very quickly, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطَعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطَعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. Whosoever sees evil amongst you, let him change it with his hand. Force the change. Right. If he cannot Now, cannot means two things. If you use your hand, if you use force, will bring about more damage,
right,
or it will bring harm to you as right. As an individual.
Right.
If you cannot, then retreat to the next level, which is
your tongue.
Your tongue. You speak about it, you write about it, and so forth.
Right.
Now, but again, with this also, there are some restrictions.
Right.
You must have knowledge of the subject before you actually initiate the process of enjoining good and forbidding evil. You must do it with kindness and wisdom, and we've given a lot of examples.
Right.
And you must be patient afterwards, because not everyone will like what you are saying, what right. you are doing.
Right.
And now, also, sometimes if you speak about an evil, will cause more harm
sure.
than the good that you are intending
certainly,
to bring about. Or you may expose yourself to harm's way. Then we tell you that the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told you there is a last level that you retreat to, which is the heart.
Okay.
But now, with the heart, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ in Hadith Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says this is the weakest form of faith.
Okay.
In the wording with Imam Muslim.
But you're still, but I'm sorry, in the previous one, you're still a Muslim, but this one is strong language. Go ahead.
This is
scary, like
strong, scary. Yeah. Look what he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. وَلَيْسَ وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ مِثْقَالُ حَبَّةِ خَرْدَلِ. Beyond this, if you stand and you see the laws of Allah, the commands of Allah are violated, and you do not feel in your heart
right.
that there is something wrong, that means this heart is dead.
Yeah.
Because we know, by the way, Iman, what is Iman? What is the definition of Iman? Al-Iman wa'atiqadun bil-janan wa-qawlun bil-lisan wa'amalun bil-arkan. Believe in the heart,
yes.
you testify this with the tongue,
yeah.
and you do with the limbs. And here's the statement which I'm looking for. It increases and decreases.
Like that's perfect analogy. That you can see how they go together.
Right. Now, if you see the commands of Allah being violated before your eyes, and your heart does not move, that means your iman is zero.
Your heart is dead. You've hit rock bottom.
Right.
There's nothing
rock bottom. You do not have anything in there. Now, let us shed more light on the issue of the heart in particular. But you know, there is a beautiful story that happened at the time of one of the rulers of Bani Umayyah. His name is Marwan ibn al-Hakam. Al-Hadith fi Sahih Muslim. The day of Eid, Marwan was a little bit harsh in his khutbas, and the people would not enjoy it.
Okay.
He is the Amir, and the people would not enjoy his speech too much. So when he speaks, the people, Jum'ah, of course, khutbat al-Jum'ah, you have to sit.
You have no choice.
You have no choice. And you know the ruling regarding al-Eid. Al-Eid, Salat al-Eid, you begin with the Salah first.
And then small khutbah.
And then the khutbah.
Right.
And the khutbah is optional, by the way.
Okay.
The khutbah for al-Eid is not mandatory.
Oh, okay.
Al-Wajib huwa Salat al-Eid.
Okay, just the prayer.
Al-Wajib is the Salah.
Okay.
But the khutbah is optional.
Okay.
So the people, when he comes and he leads the salah, they pray behind him, and when he's about to give the khutbah,
they leave.
They would leave.
Yeah, right. That's because his words were harsh.
Because right. they wouldn't enjoy, not about that, but they wouldn't enjoy his khutbah much.
Okay.
So you know what he decided to do after seeing the people turning away from his khutbah to eat? He decided to do the khutbah before the salah.
To force people to stay.
To force people to stay.
To listen, yeah.
So he brought the minbar, he brought the pulpit. The story is in Sahih Muslim. I'm giving, of course, more insight.
Right, okay.
It's not exactly worded
word
this
word,
way,
yeah.
but I'm trying to give the wisdom and everything. I'm trying to explain it in a nice, entertaining fashion. In any way, as soon as he brought the pulpit and he's about to give the khutbah before the salah, one of the people said to him, "What are you doing? This is what? Enjoying what?
Enjoying the good.
And he's enjoying the good and evil with who?
With
the leader.
The Amir, yeah.
With the Amir. This is tough. What are you doing? The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he started with the salah before the khutbah. He said, "Amma hadha faqad intaha." He said, "Well, you guys do not stay for my khutbah, so I'm going to switch it around so you get to stay." I said, "Rasulullah, it's a bid'ah. Rasulullah is doing this. he prayed, he started with the salah and then the khutbah. You're changing this, this is a bid'ah. And he got himself and he left. You know who was present in the gathering? The companion who narrated hadith, من رأى منكم منكرا فليغيره. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri.
Oh, mashallah.
Sa'd ibn Malik. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. He said, he was present.
Right, right.
He said what? The one who... So after Marwan ibn al-Hakam insisted that he will do the khutbah before the salah, the sahabi, the companion, you know what he decided to do? He decided to collect himself and leave. I'm not going to sit. This is a bid'ah. I'm not going to sit in here. You know what Abu Sa'id said? أَمَّا هَذَا فَقَدْ أَدَّى. As for this man, he has fulfilled the enjoyment of good and forbidding of evil. Yeah.
That's great. That's wonderful.
You see this?
Yeah.
Why? Okay. Of course, with the hand, you cannot use the hand against the ruler. Impossible. Right. So he kicked this out of the book. He spoke.
Right, right.
He spoke, he said, this is a bid'ah. Now he still insisted that he's going to deliver the khutbah before the salah. Now he's left to what?
His heart.
But with the heart, he cannot stay.
Yeah, that's wonderful, Sheikh. We're going to take a short break. That's a wonderful story. Thank you for sharing that. You guys stay tuned for more with Imam Kareem Abu Zayd. We'll be right back after this short break.
كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله.
I've been asked today to talk about the Quran and the modern world.
The religion that is acceptable to Almighty Creator is Islam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
The more you know about him, the more you realize how you want to be like him.
For every messenger or prophet that Allah has sent, Allah gave him one dua.
Allah sent prophets after prophet, messenger after messenger, to remind everyone, don't deny the Creator.
La ilaha illallah.
Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Thee alone we worship and thee alone we seek help.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Never on this planet walked such a person as Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Antum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnasi ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhawna 'anil munkar wa tu'minuna billah.
Welcome back, you guys all around the world, to the Nation of Goodness. We're having a wonderful time talking about enjoining the good, forbidding the evil, with our beloved Sheikh Imam Kareem Abu Zayd. Sheikh, in the last segment, you had a wonderful story about enjoining the good, forbidding the evil, and the effect that it has on our hearts. Can you give us some more wonderful stories like that to encourage our viewers in this topic?
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, wa ashadu anna muhammadan abdu wa rasul. Dear viewers, Brother Malik, like I said, force the change, you can't. Speak about it, you can't. Then the heart, with the heart.
Yeah, and leave. With the heart and leave.
Leave.
Separate.
You cannot stay. Right. And that's where the misconception
is.
Yeah,
can we talk about this, Sheikh? Talk about this misconception. Some people say, as you said in the break, as long as I hate it with my heart, I can still be there.
No.
Right. No.
You see, Sufyan al-Thawri made a beautiful statement. You know what I said? Wallahi, by Allah, inni la abulu dama. I urinate blood when I see somebody doing something wrong and I cannot speak about it. Look, this is the attitude, the feeling of a believer.
Right.
He's so hardened.
Right.
He's so hurt. His heart is so hurt.
Right.
He's so touched to the extent that he's about to urinate blood.
Think about that.
But yet, with wisdom, he assessed the negative, positive consequences if he uses force,
or
if he
speaks.
Uses the tongue or speaks, is going to be bad. Right. It's not going to be good.
Right, so he leaves it.
He leaves it.
But he hates it with his heart.
Because, you see, at the end of the day, we need to explain something very important, which is Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, mentioned in his beautiful book, A'lamu al-Muwaqqi'in an Rabbil Alameen, or A'lamu al-Muwaqqi'in an Rabbil Alameen. You see, there are four cases here. Case number one, that if you use your hand, tongue, you're going to end up replacing the evil with good. Case number two, if you use your hand and tongue, and you're going to replace that evil with a lesser evil.
Okay.
Got it?
It's still good.
We're going to come back.
Yeah, right.
Just
right.
Hang in there.
Okay.
Case number three, that you're going to replace that evil, if you change it with your hand and tongue, with an equal evil. Case number four, that if you're going to change that evil, but you're going to replace it with a greater evil.
Right.
Those are the four cases, four conditions. Yeah.
Right.
Well, case number one, if you're going to change that evil with a greater goodness, with goodness, complete right. removal of the evil to goodness, do it.
MashaAllah, of course.
Use the hand and tongue, do it. You right. have to do it.
Right.
It becomes actually wajib like the heart.
Right.
To do it.
Do it.
But now you have to assess it first. Now with a lesser evil, do it.
Right.
Yani Ibn Taymiyyah, when the Tatar, you know, they came and occupied the greater Syria and so forth.
Right.
The Mughals, right. you know.
In Baghdad
and Syria and so forth. So he was walking with his students, and he found the soldiers are getting drunk. Again, yes. That's very important right. here. They are non-Muslims. They are not Muslims. And that also tells you that if you see a non-Muslim drinking, who is living where?
Within the Muslim world.
Within the Muslim world. Again, I want to distinguish between the two. It's very important.
Right.
So his students said to him, shouldn't we stop them from drinking? He said, no. If they become
sober,
they're going to kill Muslims.
Yeah, let them get drunk and stay away from us.
So this is a lesser what?
Evil.
A lesser evil.
Let them stay away from us and don't kill us.
Okay, you know the story of Al-Khidr and Musa?
Yes.
That beautiful story yes. in Surah Al-Kahf? They got on a ship. They got a free ride in a ship. Now, what is happening now? Al-Khidr ikhwa, brothers, sisters in Islam, we believe Al-Khidr is a prophet. وَمَا فَعَلْتُهُ عَنْ أَمْرِي He's a prophet, because there are people in the Ummah now who say, no, he's Wali knows them more than the Messenger.
Yeah.
We believe he's a Muslim. Of course, he's a Muslim. We believe that he's a prophet.
Okay. طيب.
He dug a hole in the ship. طيب. Dug a hole in the ship. Sayyidina Musa عليه السلام did not get it.
Right. Why did you sink
Why
the ship?
Why in the world people giving you a free ride?
Right.
And you end up
destroying
their ship. Well, not literally destroying it, but digging a hole. Oh, look, at the end of the day, there is a greater evil out there. You know what the greater evil? There is a king
right.
who looks at these ships, and if he likes it, he confiscates it.
Right.
He takes it for himself. Well, get this one, I tell you.
So that's the
But if he
know.
Sees something wrong with the ship,
he leaves it.
Well, I can pick a better ship, but I don't have to fix this one.
Right,
That's
right.
a lot of work.
Because he's the king.
Because he's the king. I'm just going to get another one. But those two evils now.
Right.
A greater one, which is what? The king what?
Was taking the ship.
And the other evil is what? Having what?
A
hole in the ship.
And just repair it.
And repair it.
Yeah.
So
it's number two.
So that's number two.
Yeah. Good point.
You go ahead and do it. Now, number three that you don't know. Is going to be a similar evil, the same evil, more or less.
Right.
Then I advise you to ask a scholar, a student of knowledge.
Okay.
What should I do? How can I go about it?
Okay.
Before you do it. Or acquire the knowledge, or wait until you get more signs that right. this is going to be a greater or lesser evil.
Okay. Take care, calculate.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Yani, take your time. But here's condition or case number four. That if you're going to replace that evil with a greater evil, it is haram to enjoin good, forbid evil with the hand and tongue. I see you're surprised, Malik, and I'm sure a lot of the viewers are. But the reason why, because you have a problem. If you're going to replace it with a greater problem, right. so what did you do?
Right.
I'd rather leave that problem for now until I figure out a way how to remove it from the picture, how to remove it from the community, how to remove it from the society. But I bring a bigger problem that I cannot handle this one.
Right, right.
You're going to end up with a bigger problem. But now, here is the key here that we need to focus on. Dear viewers, if you cannot force the change, if you cannot speak about the change, then you retreat to the final place in your body, which is what? Your heart.
Right.
But with the heart, you cannot be there. You have to separate you have to go somewhere else. And that is why you understand hadith in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There is a beautiful hadith where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the hadith Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Ahmad, and Darimi, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawm al-akhir, fala yajlis ala ma'idatin yushrabu alayha al-khamr." If you believe in Allah and the day of resurrection, do not sit on a table where alcohol is being consumed. Even so, you're not drinking.
Right.
But if you sit there, that means your heart is condoning it.
Right.
Your body is condoning it. You want to send a message to the people that I don't like what you're doing.
Right.
So,
yes.
In a way, if you sit in a vicinity of evil, and if you cannot speak about it, if you cannot force the change, or even if you cannot, sometimes, you know, you could sit because you're forced to,
right.
But you must show expressions
yes.
of discomfort.
Be uncomfortable. Don't.
Astaghfirullah. A'udhu billah. If you have to stay there for a while, and sometimes we get stranded
right.
into places where music is played.
Yeah.
A'udhu billah.
Right.
Astaghfirullah. Don't say, mashallah,
don't do that. Don't be comfortable.
You cannot do that.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
cannot do that.
Yeah.
Actually, it must happen naturally.
Yeah.
A'udhu billah.
Because your heart is
yeah,
trained.
Because your heart is
loves Allah.
Is loves Allah.
Yeah.
And this is something that Allah hates. A'udhu billah. Astaghfirullah al-azim. What is this, Ya Raj? Until you leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until you get going. Like this man who said this with the Marwan ibn al-Hakam, the story of the
right.
khutbah, which we explained before the break.
Right.
And we have another story, the story that we shared with the viewers before,
yes.
the chimpanzees.
Yes, go ahead, check in the previous episodes, yes.
The same exact thing.
Very, very strong.
The people violated, they broke the Sabbath.
Right.
They went literally and they fished on Saturday,
right.
the day which they are supposed to devote to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship.
Right.
And at the end of the day, the good people...
They had differentiated themselves and built a
wall. After what? After they used their
yeah.
tongue. They,
yeah.
They said haram. And said, right. There is a third group in this village who stayed in the middle. لِمَ تَعِضُونَ قَوْمًا وَقَالَتْ أُمَّةٌ مِّنْهُمْ لِمَ تَعِضُونَ قَوْمًا Allahu muhlikuhum aw mu'adhibuhum adaban shadida. Why are you speaking to them? So they actually used the tongue
right.
first. They told them this is haram. You're breaking the Sabbath. Allah will bring about the punishment upon
right.
us. But when they insisted, they said, you know what? We have to separate.
Right.
Let's build a wall. We cannot see you doing this. Our hearts are going to be accepted.
Right.
And when a punishment comes, we're going to be punished.
And this was the children of Israel. They had broken up to these three groups. Then
right.
what happened in the end, Sheikh?
Well, at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved those people who enjoined good and forbid evil. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned those who violated the Sabbath by transforming them into chimpanzees.
So you can get a feeling of how strong this is.
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean,
as a matter of fact, subhanAllah, you become amazed because this particular punishment never happened in spite of them doing other things. I mean, they killed messengers and prophets. They distorted their books. They deviated. They
and they hide the books that they have.
They hide the
yeah.
books that they have. But yet Allah never punished them that type of punishment. But for this one, because they thought that they can trick Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But again, we go back to the subject here, which is important, how to go about it. Hand, force change, you can't, consequences are bad, you're going to get in trouble, then you go to the tongue, you use wisdom,
right.
you do your best to be kind and nice, you be patient afterwards,
right.
but yet if you use the tongue, if you and if you write about it, if you give a khutbah about it, it's not going to work,
right.
Consequences are bad, you're
right.
going to end up with a greater evil, or people are not going to, basically, you're going to get yourself in trouble,
right.
then you go to the heart,
right.
which is what the weakest form of faith, but with the heart, I want to stress, dear viewers, you cannot sit there. And if you sit there, astaghfirullah, a'udhu billah, this is haram, astaghfirullah, you don't have to speak to them about it. You don't have to speak. But if you have to stay there, astaghfirullah, a'udhu billah. And that is where Umar ibn Abdul Aziz decided to
yes.
flog a person who drinks alcohol, who is not drinking alcohol, who is sitting with people who are drinking alcohol.
And he flogged him first.
First. Because what got him to sit there? What are you doing there?
Right.
So this is important, inshallah.
Okay.
Malik, I think we need to go into the consequences.
Okay.
That we promised three
episodes ago. But this
was
important. Yeah, we did promise on
actually,
that.
Actually, those three episodes are key in our
right.
series
yeah.
and how to go about it. And inshallah, we will talk about the consequences the next episode if you don't.
Okay, inshallah. Thank you so much for your time, Imam Kareem. You guys at home, don't miss the next episode of Nation of Goodness, the latest work from Imam Kareem Abu Zayd. Next episode, you heard from the Sheikh, we're going to be talking about the consequences of not enjoying the good and forbidding the evil. So until next time, I leave you in the care of Allah. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnasi ta'muruna bil ma'rufi wa tanhawna 'anil munkari wa tu'minuna billah. Walau amana ahlul kitabi lakana khayran lahum. منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولو آمن أهل الكتاب لكان خيرا لهم منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون